When I read this, I was struck by these words that I've used as the title for my sermon. Lost him there for a second. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Come to them and make our home with them. Some of us, as we have gotten a little older, and especially in our culture today, as people are living longer, have had to deal with, consider, wonder what would happen if parents, mothers, came home to live with us, or we as parents sometimes have grown children who come home to live with us. What happens when a family member comes home to live with us? It changes everything. It changes our schedule. It changes how we do things. It changes how we run our lives. Jesus is saying that He is willing to come home and live with us. Does Jesus live in our house? Does Jesus live as part of our family? Does Jesus live in our homes on a day-to-day basis, or is He someone we just go visit on Sunday morning? We don't have to have His picture up on the wall. You may or may not have family pictures up on the wall. Some of us do. I suppose some of us don't. But we care about our families. We love them. We like to see them come and visit. We enjoy having them. Sometimes we'd like to see them leave when the visit's over, but, you know, we're human. We get along well with some and not so well with others, and some days we get along better with others. Sometimes we get along better with each other than others. But God has said that He would come and live with us. That changes everything. He's not just a God that's down the street and around the corner or across from the pond in the church. He's not a God who only lives in His temple. But He's willing to come home and live with us in our homes on a day-to-day basis, all the time. Full time. Changes everything. Changes how we do things. Changes what we do. Changes how we schedule ourselves, changes how we eat, changes how we sleep, it changes us. I had to chuckle this morning when I was getting ready for service, and I looked over at the coffee table there in front of the couch in the narthex, and there was a kid's book there. I was curious as to what it was and turned it over, and it was about a dragon, and the dragon's shoes were giving this child some kind of magical powers. And I thought, what fun. You know, when we're children especially, magic is exciting. Magic is fun. We want things, we're fascinated by that stuff. And yet, we have this magical Holy Spirit that God says He will send to live with us in our homes every day. Are we in awe of the presence of that Spirit in our homes? Are we aware that we have the power of that Holy Spirit to change our lives and change other lives? Do we live as though there were a magical presence in our house, in our home, with us, in our lives every day? No, we don't. We're human. We get wrapped up in the day-to-day, earthly, humdrum, workaday world stuff. And being adults, we think we're supposed to be in charge. We think we're supposed to be doing our job. We think we're supposed to be taking care of business. We think we're supposed to be. And we forget this promise. Not only that He would be with us till the end of time and that He would make a place for us when we die, but that He would come and live in our home all the time, every day. Wow. Kind of makes your house part of the kingdom, doesn't it? I mean, if the king came and lived in your house, wouldn't that make it the king's palace? Whoa, does that mean my house is the king's palace? Yeah, it does. That means that the ruler of the universe is going to come live with me. Wow. That means kings and princes and all kinds of people are going to want to come visit me because the king's here. That means that people who want power and riches are going to come visit me because he has riches beyond imagination, doesn't he? And yet, why are we surprised when people see something in us that they want to know about? Why do we have so much trouble telling people about the wondrousness of Jesus' love and what it has done for our lives and how it's helped us with our struggles? We have a wondrous, magical, holy, spiritual presence living with us every day, in our homes, in our lives. And yet we act like it's so hard. He gives us power to overcome difficulty. He gives us peace to overcome the chaos, the chaos that we find in the world. It is full of chaos, isn't it? I mean, if you don't believe me, turn on the TV. They tell you all about all the bad stuff. Who's telling us about the good stuff? Well, we've got to turn off the TV and listen to that Holy Spirit that has promised to come and live with us, provide the peace. We don't have a whole lot of religious art up in the parsonage, but we do have one thing that I really enjoy, its presence. It's not really obvious when you walk in where it's decorated, but we have a cross that we got from Teen Challenge when they were here visiting. And that cross is made of nails and wrapped with wire. When I started working in the ministry, when I got my life back in order, got God back in my life, got my life back in God's, I went out and bought a cross that was made out of nails. Somebody saw that and said, "Oh, it's so pretty." And I said, "No, it's not. It's actually kind of ugly. A couple of nails wired together with pieces of wire. That's not really pretty. But it reminds me that my faith is not always pretty. My faith is not always easy. It was painful for him to be nailed to that tree. It hurt. I can't even imagine how much it must have hurt to hang there, to be ridiculed and vilified and insulted, to be stabbed in the side just to see if he was still alive, to suffer all of that. And he did that for me. My faith is not easy. My faith is sometimes painful. My faith is certainly sometimes a struggle. Sometimes I feel like I'm struggling against those wires. I work with people in prison and in jail and in drug treatment, and I see them struggling to try and understand how they can live in the world after sometimes years of living the wrong way, seeing them trying to live the right way. And then when they do get that jailhouse religion, trying to take that back into the free world and hold on to it, it's tough. It's a tough world to live in. It's hard for them. It's hard for us. It's hard for anybody. But we have this offer that God will come and live with us in our home. What an offer. Come and live with us in our home. Makes it all seem different, doesn't it? It's not just a promise that He'll be there after we die. It's not just a promise that He'll be there if we call on Him. It's a promise that He'll be there, right there, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, in your home, in your life, all the time, every time. But we forget to call on Him. We forget to tell Him it's time to go to work and come on and get in the car. We forget, you know, time to go across town and get in the truck and time to move and load up. And we have an accident. We're crushed by the destruction of property and forget to be, obviously your brother didn't forget to be, thankful that we get to walk away from it. We have struggles. We lose family. We lose friends. We see people hurt and suffering and injured and getting older and maybe not so quick on things. And we hurt and we worry about them and we struggle with that. But He is living with us. He is living with us all the time. He is there all the time. He is part of our lives, or should be, can be, will be, if we but open the door. Invite Him in. But then when we invite Him in, it changes things. We have to do His will. We have to follow His law. We have to listen to His needs. We have to pay attention to His rules. We have to accommodate Him in our lives. We can't have Him live with us unless we make room for Him. We can't have Him stay with us unless there's a place for Him to stay. We can't have Him be a part of our home and our family and our life unless we make room for Him. And in this society, in this day and time, in this world, it's hard to make room for anything. Our lives seem so full sometimes that we have to give up something in order to get something else. Shirley and I joke about the fact that we need to move stuff into storage so we can get more stuff so we can go shopping. You know? we got a house full of stuff, but we want to put it in storage and then go to the store and get something new. Hey. But life in our world today is like that. It's so full. There's so many things competing for our attention that it's hard to just turn off the TV and take a moment to let God back into our house, into our home, into our lives. On this Mother's Day, we think about our mothers. We think about our families. But God is part of our family too. Jesus has promised to be there for us. His Holy Spirit, part of our families, part of our lives. Loving us as mothers love us. Always there, always present, always able to make you feel about 2 years old. I mean, my mom only has to say my name with that voice that she has, you know, and I'm 2 years old again and going, sorry. She called me up earlier this week and reminded me that I had not called her lately and she just wanted to talk to me. Okay, Mom. I felt chastised. But that's all she wants is for me to call. That's all she wants is for me to stay in touch. That's all she wants is for me to pay attention. That's all she wants is to know that I still love her, which I do. And that's all he wants is for us to include him in our lives. But if we do, if we love him, if we care for him, then it changes our lives. It changes how we live, changes what we think, changes what we do. Sometimes we want to say that we care, but then we don't really want to change. Just like when somebody comes to visit us and we want to spend time with them, but then we have so many other things to do, it's hard to find time. We struggle with that. We struggle with finding a place for him in our lives. But without him in our lives are so much poorer. God loves you. Mom loves you. Happy Mother's Day. We're glad you're here. Amen.